That is the plan. College basketball season. We're going to get into all that and more with our Chicago Cubs expert. He's our analyst. He'll break down the Chicago Cubs. Actually, he's here to talk about his Belmont basketball team. Casey Alexander is on the line with us. Casey, how you doing?
I'm great. How are you guys?
Doing fantastic. What's
new
and exciting?
Yeah, like the OVC, the ex-OVC pitcher, Alec Mills, getting the no-hitter for the Cubs, huh? That's a good story.
How about that? Yeah, big time. Big time. UT Martin guy, Clarksville, right?
Yeah.
A walk-on at UT Martin. Don't you just love those stories?
I heard the story about him just driving by the field one day, watching him practice, and said, I could do that. And he went and met with the coach the next day, and here we are.
Unreal.
Isn't that crazy? By the way, what is your – we were talking about this a while back because I watched an E60 piece on ESPN about Ja Morant's story of how he was discovered in the back gym when all the main gym was where all the scouts and college basketball coaches were. And, a guy from Murray wanders back there and finds Ja Morant in a back gym. You have any story like that where you found a kid off the beaten path?
There's everybody's got stories like that. I think it's a little bit, I don't think you're getting the full story because in most of those events, you got a main gym and a back gym and the best teams could be playing in either. But still, I mean, obviously an unbelievable find and, congrats to Murray for getting it done.
Yeah. I mean, you're right. I don't think you, I guess it always helps. I don't think there's these places, they're littered with Ja Morant stories, but
it's not like they picked teams and they said, okay, all the best players go in here and then you other guys go into the back gym and maybe somebody will find you. No, that just happened to be where they were playing that day, I guess.
Well, he and his dad, they always said he was never a big recruiter. In fact, he wasn't getting recruited at all. It was all about his size. How careful do you have to be? You've been in this business a long time, and everybody's kind of got like the book of what you're looking for in players, right? Whether it's a position or what you're looking for. But sometimes there are just certain kids that don't fit the mold, right? And you have to figure that out. Like, it's not in the manual. Like, it doesn't make any sense why you would be interested in them. But when they ended up on your team, you're so glad you did because it doesn't make sense. But once they get there, it makes total sense.
Absolutely. And then, let's be real. A lot of times we just get lucky. Yeah, I mean, you see something in a player and you project out, okay, what's his potential or, physically when he develops, what's he going to be able to do? So you got to make your best guess on those things. But, the John Morants of the world, the Dylan Windlers, the Garrison Matthews, those guys, they just deserve a lot of credit for getting good. And the coaches deserve very little.
Well, the last 6-plus months we've been talking to you off and on. I don't think the picture was very clear of what the heck you were in for this upcoming season. Do you believe now as we sit here today in mid-September the picture is becoming much more clear of your season?
Much more clear. Obviously having a starting date, and then being able to make all the decisions that goes along with that, this creates a lot of peace of mind for coaches. It lets administrators start planning things. But there's still plenty to be done. I mean, I think schedules are really going to be a windy road. And non-conference schedules, I'm talking about what happens over the next week, 10 days, 2 weeks. So there's still a lot to figure out. And then, there's the testing piece that I think all of us are still a little bit worried about, maybe. Everything that's been done so far is with the assumption that testing is going to get easier, cheaper, more available, things like that. But when that happens is going to determine, really, are we going to be able to start on the 25th? Will conferences start making their own decisions about conference only, things like that? So there's still more to be determined, but we're way better off today than we were yesterday.
Talking to Casey Alexander, Belmont men's basketball coach. So, Casey, let's start with the OVC. What have the conversations been like there? Are we fairly confident that, at least for conference games, you can get close to the amount of games that you want to get within the league?
I think every league across the country is planning to play their full slot of conference games. So, really, the question is do you expand that even more? For example, the OVC, we have an 18-game conference schedule. And we play everybody twice with the exception of four teams. So part of our conversations could be, okay, for this year, do we want to play 22 conference games therefore kind of guarantee ourselves that we're going to have those games as best we can? Or do we keep it like it is and play more non-conference games? Those are discussions for every league all across the country. You know, and then we also, you guys know, I mean, you know, it's pretty foolish to think we're just going to play all our games and nobody's going to have to postpone, nobody's going to have, you know, to reschedule. And so how much room do you build into your schedule in order to plan for that is another question.
Yeah, and I've seen a lot of ideas kicked around, Casey, and I know in the OVC you have sort of a traveling partner that you go around and play a pair of road games. I saw some ideas of would you all, you know, go to one gym, maybe four teams to one area and play sort of a round robin there. Right now is the plan to just do the regular schedule? Because as you said, there's going to be hurdles. We've seen what baseball has gone through. You know, there's some things that can cause some hiccups for sure.
Right, yeah. For us, I mean, we're very fortunate in the OVC because we're a bus league. You know, so just playing in-home gyms is a lot more doable than, let's say, you know, the league with Middle Tennessee and Western Kentucky where they're traveling all across the country to play their games. You know, it would make more sense for them to have a weekend where they bring in three or four teams and you play two or three games because it really minimizes travel and risk for their teams. But for us, I think our plan would be play the games as scheduled. You know, if you need to adapt later in the season to get two or three games in over the course of a weekend, then, you know, then you have one of those formats like you're talking about where, you know, a little bit more of a bubble kind of a situation.
So what else with the discussions? I read a lot of articles about behind the scenes, and I guess you have to say this committee that had to sift through all of the chaos that was going on did a pretty good job of taking their time, not making any hasty decisions, but, you know, coming to this conclusion that you're going to have the season. So anything else that jumped out at you in terms of what they came out with yesterday?
Nothing at all that came out yesterday. I think it's basically what most coaches were, you know, were ready to hear. And the question for yesterday for us was more, is it going to be November 21st or 25th? And they answered that by saying the 25th. And so that news was pretty status quo. I think the, you know, Dr. Handlein with the NCAA, chief medical guy, I mean, you know, you can't have a meeting about any of this stuff without it being made kind of painfully clear that health and safety of student athletes is the number one priority. And those decisions are still being made. You know, they haven't prescribed for us what testing protocol has to look like. How many times do you have to get tested? Where? When? You know, and that's when schools and conferences will have to decide, can we do that or not? It's exactly what happened in football. Some of those leagues just decided we can't test everybody every day like the Power Five does. We're not ready for that. So we're going to have to cancel the fall. We'll play our games in the spring. Hopefully it'll be cheaper, easier. You know, so we still have those kinds of discussions. I'm not trying to plant a seed that they're going to wipe away basketball season, but it's probably going to be somewhere in the middle. It's not going to be just as easy as, hey, we got a game, so show up and play.
I was reading an article in The Athletic with Seth Davis, and you were quoted in it. And so I guess strong mid-major programs like yourself, we always can think back through all the games you guys have played against some Power 5 leagues and gotten some big wins that get everybody's attention. It's a wait and see, I guess, to see how many of those, if any, you could get in there as you try to put your schedule together.
Yeah, and that's the biggest, I think, domino, the one that's going to fall the quickest. Now that we know when the games start, you know, all of the typical early season events that everybody loves, the Maui Classic, the Champions Classic, we're playing in the Orlando Invitational, which is a real high-profile event with a great field. Everybody wants to protect those events, and they will be protected. But, you know, you move an 18 tournament 2 weeks later than when it was supposed to be played, well, now whatever games were supposed to be played during that stretch have to be rescheduled or canceled or moved. You know, so it's just going to be a really, really big puzzle to put together over the next few weeks for non-conference scheduling. You know, the NCAA needs as much data as they can get in order to decide how do we really separate one team from the other. So protecting non-conference is important, especially for us if we're talking about, you know, a potential two-bid league for the OVC.
Right. And so how does it work? As you mentioned, you have those tournaments that everybody's been planning on playing. Then you have your conference games. But as far as the non-conference, is it even worth looking at the schedule you had planned, or is everybody having to scrap that and start over with that type of thing?
Yeah, that's where the uncertainty lies right now. I think it would be, you know, we would all be in favor of, it makes too much sense to say, okay, just pick up on November 25th and play the rest of your schedule. Don't worry about those games you lost. But it's not that simple because they are going to play these tournaments and they're going to move these tournaments around. There's going to be bubbles pop up of four teams, 18, 16 teams that, you know, 2 weeks ago these bubbles weren't even in existence. But schools are going to clamor to get there so that they know they've got some games, and that's going to be disruptive. Without a doubt, there's going to be some conferences that choose to play conference only, or they might be like the OVC is considering, and they add conference games. So I think everybody's going to start with what they have and try to preserve it. But at the same time, everybody is going to know that you got to be ready to adjust because, you know, it's almost certain that you're going to have to make some changes.
Casey Alexander is with us, the head coach at Belmont. Just on that real quick, if you guys, for instance, aren't able to play, you know, some of the out-of-conference games that you might, I mean, don't you think that's there's something that's going to be missing because of that, because of the different competition that you get by playing some of those other teams?
Yeah, and that's, you know, you're trying to give your team and your student-athletes the best experience you can, you know, and some of that is, you know, involves playing teams from other leagues. We're supposed to play at USC, Southern Cal, in December. That was going to be a great trip for us out west, play a Pac-12 team, you know, but they're not even right now. They're not even playing games until January 1st. So we've already lost that one. We were supposed to open our season up in Pittsburgh at Duquesne, a really good Atlantic 10 team that has high expectations. Well, season doesn't start till the 25th. So are we going to be able to reschedule that one or not? And every team has to, you know, has got this same dilemma, same questions that they have to get answered.
What about the Battle of the Boulevard? Is that still going to happen as usual, or is it going to be moved, or do you not know yet?
Well, that's a good question, too. Yeah, we were scheduled to play twice, as always. The first game was November 19th, I think, and that was supposed to be at Belmont. So that one either has to be canceled or it has to be rescheduled later. But therein lies the problem. So if we choose to preserve that game and schedule it later in the season, well, that probably means we got to cancel the game with somebody else. If we cancel that game with somebody else, that means they got to go find a game. They got to cancel a game with somebody else. So it's just, you know, it's a big mess is what it is.
You brought up the bubbles earlier and that, you know, there could be different bubbles that pop up. And we've seen it work in the pro sports. And you would assume that it's going to be – you'd be able to work just as effectively with college. But have you made calls? Have you talked to some people maybe in the NBA that that you may know that have been a part of this or were part of the planning just to learn a little bit more?
I mean, I haven't personally made any calls, but there are more conversations than you would want to be a part of about the potential for having these bubbles all across the country. There's one specifically being talked about in Nashville that'll involve 16 teams. And I think, you know, chances are it's probably going to be played. So, but no, not one of those 16 teams had planned for that, you know. So
right.
If they choose to do that now, again, you can see kind of how it, just the trickle-down effect from something like that being decided. And the bubble doesn't get you any more games. It's just a little bit more of a guarantee that you're going to play them, you know, because of testing and quarantine. And, you know, the way the bubble will work is, okay, all 16 teams come to Nashville. They test before they come. They test when they get here. They quarantine for a couple of days, pledge allegiance not to go anywhere, anytime, do anything, you know, and therefore they're going to play those four games.
Casey, I've said the word bubble more in the last 6 months than I think I ever had.
Usually we're talking about teams trying to get in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah,
we're talking
right.
about the bubble.
Right. It's, and for, you know, for the common listener, the bubble simply means this. We're going to play a tournament, but we're going to test you and we're going to make you isolate yourself basically so that once you test negative, you know, we don't have to worry about that anymore and everybody will do that and therefore we'll get to play the games. It's really, bubble means testing in this case.
Well, bubble right now has meant safe because in the NHL and the NBA, it has been a foolproof system that has gone off without a hitch. I mean, they've come up with goose eggs since they've gotten into their bubbles. It's worked.
No, there's no doubt about it. And, you know, there's even been conversations. I think they've died down a little bit now. But You know, do you play all your non-conference games in a bubble or all of your conference games in a bubble? You know, you do it over a 3-4 week period.
Yeah.
And it sounds great on paper, but, you know, the cost for that is astronomically high. There just aren't many schools that can do that. Not to mention you're talking about students who still have class during that whole time that they're supposed to be in the bubble. And, you know, so it's a lot more difficult than it sounds.
Yeah, a little bit more hoops on your end to jump through.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Yeah.
See what I did there. Last thing. So what is your schedule right now with your team? Like, what do you know right now you can do here in mid-September?
Same as always in the off season. You get 4 hours a week with your team on the floor. They get 8 hours total, and that can be strength and conditioning or time on the floor. And so that's what we have right now. That goes.
When does that change?
That was one of the changes that came from yesterday. It used to be 8 hours in the off season, and then when your official practice starts, you go to 20 hours per week, and you can use that 20 hours however you want. Now, on September 21st, next week, I guess, from there until the time your official practice starts, you get 12 hours. So they're kind of – and that's a nice change. That gives us more access, but it's not full in season where – you know, where guys have 12 weeks of preseason practice. And so it's a nice little intermediate step for us all.
Well, that starts on Monday. Great. Hey, thanks for doing this. Always good to talk to you. Seems like some good news on your end. Continue to be safe, and we'll talk to you soon.
See you guys. I always enjoy it. Thank you.
Yep. Casey Alexander, Belmont basketball coach, back to wrap up the show next.